When Boston Mayor Marty Walsh was a young man, he experienced the open racial intolerance in his community as parents confronted police enforcing court-ordered busing to desegregate Boston's public schools. Boston has struggled with the hidden truth of racial intolerance for decades. Truth as when a Fenway Park Red Sox fan yelled racial slurs at a Baltimore Orioles player, Adam Jones, last month. Hidden truth as how comedian Michael Che could bury Boston's reputation in humor on Saturday Night Live in this Super Bowl joke.
I just want to relax, turn my brain off, and watch the blackest city in America beat the most racist city I've ever been to.
Mayor Marty Walsh wants to dehumorize this joke about his city and ultimately unmask the people who feel they can shout racial hatred in public without consequences. The mayor is spearheading an initiative in partnership with the Himes Foundation to develop a citywide organized series of events to talk about race with a team of facilitators skilled in these kinds of discussions. He joined us from our partner station WGBH to explain how it will all work.
These dialogues they're not going to be scripted. They're going to be open dialogues, and we're asking companies to have conversations. We're asking churches to have conversations. We're asking neighborhoods to have conversations, because when you think about what's happened in the country, whether it's been the acts of in Ferguson or New York, or what's happened in Fenway Park a couple weeks ago with the Adam Jones situation, or were you hearing other players around different leagues saying that, you know, there's racism and racist remarks all over the place? We need to do better as a society.
How did you react to that baseball story?
It was disappointing, and certainly the next day was as disappointing, if not even more disappointing in some ways, because we had a father there with his son, and one of the people next to him made a racial comment about somebody singing the national anthem, and it was just a really bad situation, and it happens every day in America, and you know, Boston seems to have a spotlight on it more and more every when it happens here, but it really does happen other places. And I think that, you know, having these dialogues and having this understanding in different ways will help us heal. I think in order to move beyond a lot of issues, we have to heal. And indirectly in President Obama, when he created My Brother's Keeper, part of that is also around race and racism, what he did there, and dealing with slavery and how do generational African-American people deal with slavery and or not deal with slavery. So there's a very complex thing going on right now in America. And I think even with the feeling in Washington is adding a lot more anxiety to it. And mm-hmm. I think that in Boston, I'm hopeful that we're going to take this dialogue and going to try and lead maybe the rest of the country with it. But it has to happen. You can't ignore it.
No, and you mentioned slavery and you mentioned healing. And I'm glad that you mentioned both of those, because I think there really is healing required from the particular circumstances of American history. And healing from slavery and the Jim Crow period is one narrative. Whites have to heal from the mistakes and the passions that were expressed. I remember when school busing, was imposed on Boston. I was shocked at the intensity. You lived through that, yes?
Yeah, I was young at the time. I was in grammar school, but you know, it affected a lot of people. It still affects people. And that's one of the conversations on race, that, you know, we had white kids and white families that moved out of the city because they didn't want to get their kids bused across the city. You had black families that didn't have the ability to move out of the city that were angry because their kids were bused to another part of the city. And I think at that period in the 70s, the early 70s, mid-70s, we're supposed to just ignore it and hope it goes away. And it really hasn't gone away. And there's still a lot of repercussions of what happened. And I think that that's important. I think I had an opportunity a couple weeks ago to go down to the African American Museum, and I was, you know, I was, you start down the bottom of the museum and you go up, so you start in the 1400s, and you think about the impacts of slavery on people. And you know, when you think about slavery, and not everyone understands, well, you know, slavery happened, you know, 300 years ago. Why is it still an issue? Happened 200 years ago. Why is it still an issue? It's still an issue because people, it's affected generational families. And I think that I gave the analogy the other day to, you know, as an Irish person, Irish American, you know, the the trauma that England put on Ireland for so many years until 1917 when the Easter Rising happened. And people still carry that forward here in Irish culture. They still think about the past. So you do have to deal with the past, and you don't want history to repeat itself. And I think that, we can accuse each other of whatever and name call. But as a mayor of a city, I know that this is the right way to go, and this is the right thing to do here for our city. I see it with our kids in our schools, and it's about them. It's about not about me, and it's not about the people, the older people today. It's about our future of our city, and the kids are our future of our city. And you're never going to get to closure, but get to an understanding.
Well, it would be great to get beyond the impulse in America, I think, to joke about these things. Did you recall Michael Che on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, that was hurtful in a way. You know, as the mayor, obviously, you might say take offense to it. But you know what it does? You know, there's two ways of reacting to that. One is condemning Michael Che and say he's wrong. And the second is embracing it and saying, well, there's a perception here. In a reality, how do you fix it? And I would prefer the second piece of that. And I think that, you know, he was on Saturday Night Live right after that, a couple weeks ago, and he talked about the incident with Adam Jones, and he spoke about 36 people were ejected from the ballpark, and the way they insinuated it was 36 people because of racism. That wasn't the case in the park. But the issue is we have to deal with it. So how do we respond in Boston? The Red Sox sat down with the NAACP. We're sitting down talking with all the sports teams. We had a meeting a couple weeks ago. We had the Bruins, the Celtics, the Red Sox, the Patriots, and the Revolution in there. So we're responding, rather than reacting in a negative manner, we're responding and going to respond in a positive manner to deal with the issue. And that's what we have. We have to stop knee-jerk reaction. That's what, again, I don't mean to pick on Washington, but everything seems to be a knee-jerk reaction out of Washington lately. Let's take a deep breath and let's deal with the issues in front of us.
What's your metric? What's your sort of thought in your brain? When we've done this for a couple of years, the thing I want to see in Boston is blank.
Healing. I guess that there's more healing and there's a better understanding of race and that, you know, we're a city, a multicultural city in Boston. 28% of our residents are foreign born. 48% of our residents are first generation. So we're a multicultural city here in Boston, as many urban American cities are. It's something I think we're one of the only cities that is looking to tackle this issue and to take this issue on citywide. You know, some of these conversations will be difficult and some of these conversations will be easier. But I think it's very important for us to move forward with these conversations.
Well, Mayor Marty Walsh, have a great summer and thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.